Good morning, everyone. Well, before we begin our lesson, I would just like to take a moment with you and to give thanks for the privilege that we have to be able to gather here together to worship as we choose. Remembering all those who gave the ultimate sacrifice and still are giving, that we have this great privilege. And I think as Unity people, in some places, we'd be tar and feathered. So grateful for being able to worship as we choose. Are you a flicker or a flame? A flame, of course. Well, imagine that you are in a room with 11 of your best friends. And all of a sudden, the door flies open, and there is a huge flame with all these tongues, and it goes around the room and it lands on each one of you. You're in shock. And after it's over, you all jump up, run downstairs, start singing and dancing and speaking in tongues, and your life is never the same. Is that how you leave home in the morning? Well, for most of us, probably not. Sometimes leaving home is almost like a flicker, like gathering ourselves together, getting on with it, letting our light shine, but it's kind of sporadic. So anyone recognize the story that I just told? Pentecost, the story of Pentecost, which is next Sunday in most of the traditional churches, is when the celebration of Pentecost begins. So here's how that story unfolds. On Ascension, 10 days before Pentecost, Jesus tells his disciples two things. He said, I want you to go to the city and wait there until you are filled with power. And then he also tells them that the truth of Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come upon them and baptize them. So they did. They went to the city, which happened to be Jerusalem. They went to a woman's home by the name of Mary, and it's believed that it was Mary, the mother of James. And there they went to the second floor, called the upper room. And they did as Jesus had instructed. They waited. Willing anticipation, they waited. And it is said that Peter, who represents what attribute? Faith, yes. Kind of headed up the group, which makes sense, right? Faith kind of heads up everything. And so they waited and they prayed and waited. And then the door comes open and the scene that we just heard happens. The flame touches each and every one of them. They are filled with the Holy Spirit and they run outside singing, dancing, and never to be the same. Their life changes. Even Peter, who is the one who, out of fear, denied Jesus, now stood before, later, the Sanhedrin, the same court, and was fearless standing before them. He had changed so much. So what is this Holy Spirit that we're talking about? Well, traditionally, the Holy Spirit is called the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Unity and New Thought, we call this mind, idea, and expression. Boy, you are really on top of Unity here. And sometimes even call the architect, God, creator, the blueprint, the perfect expression of that, the Christ, and then the builder, the movement. So the Holy Spirit, we teach, is God in activity, the movement of God. And it's said that it can be likened to streams of light coming from the Creator and penetrating all of the creation, just instilling in that the light. We know that we live and move and have our being in spirit, that we're never separated from spirit. And it is that spirit that lives and moves in us, the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, God in action. So how do we then take this story and make it our story? We teach that every story in Scripture, every character, all the circumstances are about us, right? Lessons that we have for 2017 to live our life. So in this story, to awaken that Holy Spirit, that activity, that movement of God in us, not that it's going to come into us, but it's already in us. We know that everything we have, everything we need is already there. All we have to do is wake it up. And the same with that movement of God in us. To become more aware of the Spirit of God in us. A woman by the name of Elizabeth Sand Turner wrote 3 books. She was a Unity minister in the 30s and 40s, long before any of us were a twinkle in our mother's eyes or whatever. And the 3rd book she wrote was Be Ye Transformed. And in that book, she talks about this story of Pentecost and the metaphysical meaning behind it. She said there are 3 things that we need to do as we prepare to step into that greater awareness of God in us, of the Holy Spirit that lives and moves in us. And the first is to go to that place of peace. Now, it was the disciples, after they left Jesus, that went to Jerusalem. And metaphysically, Jerusalem means habitat of peace. So go to that place. It's like meditating, right? To find that place of peace and calm, to be there. And then she said, to bring together, to be cohesive. And when the disciples were meeting in the upper room waiting for this great event, we know that each of the disciples represents an attribute. Peter, faith; John, love; James, wisdom. All of the disciples bringing their quality, their attribute, there together in that room. And that for us, sitting in that place of calm and peace, to bring all that is within us together, to be focused, to bring our faith and love and wisdom to that place. And then she said, the next thing, the upper room, is the heaven of our mind. Isn't that a beautiful expression? The heaven of our mind. And then to sit there in great expectation, knowing that that spirit in us will be more and more revealed as it becomes our focus. It becomes what we expect. And then she said, like the disciples, that life will change for us. The more aware we are that God lives in us, the more our life changes. The more we move from being a flicker to being a flame, to be turned on. And of course, the result of that is living life with more passion and more purpose than ever before. Years ago, I had a good friend who was an activist. We all went to dinner one evening, a group of us, and she told a story that She and her husband had been fighting a lot. She said, he told me that when I married you, you were a candle. I was so happy you were a candle, a light in God's world. And he said, now you're involved in everything and doing this and that, and it's like you're a floodlight. Like that was wrong. I'll never forget that. And she said, for a while I thought, well, I better turn this light down. My gosh, I need to be that candle flickering again, that woman that he fell in love with. And of course, try as she might, she couldn't. Because as her light got brighter is when she became more and more aware that God lived and moved in her. Anyone think that marriage lasted? It didn't. But also to know that when we are being that flame, that great light that we're all here to be, that it isn't about being boisterous and loud. That's not what makes our light brighter. It's about the awareness. God's in me, in the gift that we give as we realize that more and more. I'd like to share a story with you about a little boy, and I found this story back in 2002 on the internet, and it was a true story about a little boy who, at the age of 6, found that he indeed was a flame in God's world. And the story takes place in a little town in the Midwest, and it was during the drought. All the crops had dried up, and all the farmers had to go to town and bring water back to their farm just in order to give water to their livestock. So you could not waste even a thimble of water. And so the story opens with Billy, the little boy, outside, and the mother, the father, and the uncle all sitting around the kitchen table talking about the drought. And then all of a sudden, the mother looked out the kitchen window and saw little Billy. And he was walking towards the woods very purposely. She said he was bent over as though he was shielding something in front of him. And then I'd like to read now her words for this story. I have seen with my own eyes the miracle that God can work when we remember that God lives and moves in us. I was in the kitchen making lunch for my husband and his brother when I saw my 6-year-old son, Billy, walking towards the woods. He wasn't walking with the usual carefree abandon of a youth, but with a serious purpose. I could only see his little back. He was obviously walking with great effort, trying to be as still as possible. Minutes after he disappeared into the woods, he came running out again towards the house. I went back to making sandwiches, thinking that whatever task he was doing was completed. Then moments later, he once again was walking in that slow and purposeful stride towards the woods. This activity went on for an hour. Walk carefully to the woods, run back to the house. Finally, I couldn't take it any longer, and I crept out of the house and followed him on his journey, being careful not to be seen. He was cupping both hands in front of him as he walked, being careful not to spill the water he held in them, maybe 2 or 3 tablespoons at the most in those tiny little hands. I sneaked close as he went into the woods. Branches and thorns slapped his little face, but he didn't try to avoid them. He had a much higher purpose. He was doing God's work. As I leaned in to spy on him, I saw the most amazing sight. Several large deer loomed in front of him, and Billy walked right up to them. I almost screamed for him to get away, and a huge buck with elaborate antlers was dangerously close. But the buck did not threaten him. He didn't even move as Billy knelt down. And then I saw a tiny fawn laying on the ground, obviously suffering from dehydration and heat exhaustion, lift its little head with great effort to lap up the water cupped in my beautiful boy's hands. When the water was gone, Billy jumped up to run back to the house, and I hid behind a tree. I followed him back to the house to a spigot to which he had shut off the water. Billy opened it all the way up, and a small trickle began to creep out. He knelt there, letting the drip, drip, drip slowly fill his makeshift cup as the sun beat down on his little back. And it came clear to me the trouble he had gotten into for playing with those hose the week before, the lecture he received about the importance of not wasting water. This is the reason that he didn't ask for help. It took almost 20 minutes for the drops to fill his hands when he stood up and began the trek back to the woods. This time I was in front of him, and his little eyes opened and said, "I'm not wasting, I'm not wasting." As he began his walk, I joined him. This time I had a small pot of water from the kitchen. I let him tend to the fawn. I stayed away. This was his job. I stood on the edge of the woods watching the most beautiful heart I have ever known working so hard to bring more of God to this world. And as the tears rolled down my face and began to hit the ground, they were suddenly joined by other drops and more, and I looked in the sky, and it's as though God was weeping with joy. And it began to rain. Some will probably say this was all a huge coincidence, that miracles don't really exist when we bring more of God to this world. And I can't argue with that. All I can say is that the rain that came that day saved our farm, just as the actions of one little boy saved another. Because he realized he was here to be a flame in God's world. I love that story. I see some tears falling out there. It's hard to get through this story. So why we're here, to be a flame in God's world, to be a great light in this world, to be the hands and feet and voice and ears and love and compassion in the world. And the way that we get there is a greater awareness that God lives and moves and has his being in us, that we are God in expression right here. And so my prayer for all of us is that we take whatever time we need. And as Jesus said, to go to the city and wait until we are filled with that power, that realization, so that we can go out and be a flame. And that we can, each of us, cup and hold all the gifts that we bring as God in this world to give out the flame that we are. Thank you. And as we now join together in an affirmation that we say as Unity people all over the world, every time we meet, not just on Sundays, And it's a beautiful affirmation of who God is, the power of God, that God is everywhere. And hearing these words, to really embrace them, to help them fan the flame that we already know is there, God living in us. So will you join me as we affirm together? Okay. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life. God the good, omnipotent. Okay. It is. And now we hear these beautiful words that sing us into meditation.
There's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills the place. I've touched the hem of his garment. I can almost see his face, and my heart is overflowing the fullness of his joy. I know without a doubt that I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can feel the brush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.